Baptist Church, you all please stand as we open up with worship this morning.
Sometimes it feels like I'm watching from the outside. Sometimes it feels like I'm breathing. But am I alive? I won't keep searching for answers. Aren't here to find. All I know is I'm not home yet. This is not where I belong. Take this world and give me Jesus. This is not where I belong. So when the walls come falling down on me, and when I'm lost in the current of a raging sea, I have this blessed assurance holding me.
You know, in Sunday school class, Steve told a, and he's, you know, I guess somebody in the wrote the book told the story of somebody when they died, they want to be buried with a fork. And I thought that was awesome because what's coming after this is so much better than this. Amen. We get to look into the face of God for eternity. Amen. We all bow your heads with me. We open up with prayer. Dear Lord God, I thank you and I praise you, God, for this wonderful church that we can come here together as a body of believers in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the sacrifice that he gave for us to draw us back to you, God. And Lord, we want to praise you. We want to worship you this morning, God. We want to tell you how much we love you. We want to thank you for saving us, Lord. And Lord, as we sing these songs and worship you, I ask the anointing of your Holy Spirit to be upon us, God, but especially, God, on your word this morning that Richie's going to bring to us this morning. Speak mightily through him and change our hearts into what you want us to be. And I thank you for the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You all may be seated.
Good morning. So far, $680 has been given to the Olacock State Mission offering. Our goal is $4,000. So I would like to thank those of you who have given so far. And I would like to encourage you all to continue praying for the state of West Virginia, for all of our churches and missionaries, and also for the people who don't know Jesus yet. Pray that their hearts would be open to hearing the gospel. And now we're going to watch a video. Thank you.
Friend like you, as I've traveled across the United States and certainly here in West Virginia, I see crosses just like these. And I wonder what the story is. Bernard Koffendoffer a retired pastor and fellow West Virginian, committed to place these crosses up no matter the cost. God used him in a tremendous way to put conversation pieces regarding Christ in place. He gave sacrificially to get it done. He spent $3 million and he raised that money. He cashed in life insurance policies. He wasn't a wealthy, wealthy man, but he did what he could. God has blessed West Virginia Southern Baptist with all kinds of gifts and talents and abilities and capacities to serve him. And over these next 3 years, we are focusing on taking the gospel in and through West Virginia, using the gifts and talents and abilities and resources he's given us, and maximizing those for kingdom growth. You know, these crosses are inspirational, aren't they? I'm inspired by the story of Reverend Koffendoffer and his vision to make Jesus Christ known in and through West Virginia. And I hope that you'll be inspired by the Great Commission and the command of Jesus Christ to make Christ known in and through West Virginia.
We want to make Jesus known in and through Princeton, West Virginia.
In and through Mountain State Baptist Association.
I'm Pastor Josh Waybright of Faith Baptist Church in Mason, West Virginia. And we're serving in West Virginia to make Jesus known in and through West Virginia.
Making Jesus known in and through Calvary Baptist Church of Warr, West Virginia.
Disaster Relief is making Jesus Christ known in and through West Virginia.
We want to see the resurrected Christ proclaimed in and through Wellspring Church.
So, join us in the mission of strengthening and sending churches. And you be the church, let's be the church, and let's make him known in and through West Virginia.
You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving.
About those crosses, that was pretty good. Did you guys know that? I didn't. I think a couple people did. We all please stand as we continue to worship this morning. This song actually kind of sums up what they just said about the why and the how for this.
And conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
To ever overcome the grave. Amen. Because of what Jesus did for us, he said, he's coming back for us, and we are going to follow him straight up to heaven one day. Amen. There's a peace I've come to know. Though my heart and flesh may fail, there's an anchor for my soul, and I can say it is well, 'cause Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won, and he is risen from the dead, and I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise.
There's a day that's drawing near when this darkness breaks to light and the shadows disappear and my face.
Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we can just enjoy this time of worship and praise of you, Lord. We are so blessed to be in a church that is excited to worship and honor you with our talents and our gifts. Lord, the great honor we have to come before you, can never truly thank you enough. So God, today we ask that you allow us to take a few minutes. Lord, just let us take these few minutes today as we come before you and worship you, to set aside the chaos of our world, Lord, let us put aside all of the things that are going on in our lives. Let us just rise to you. Lord, I pray today as I stand before you, Lord, I ask that you forgive me of my sins. And Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit rain down on this place today. And it's in your most wonderful name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning, Open Door Baptist Church. I'm glad you're all here. As you can tell, I am not Chuck or Zeke or Larry, but I have great news for you guys. Larry is back. And even better news, Donna and Beth are back as well. So everybody, round of applause for Larry making it back from a vacation. I do have bad news for you, though. You are stuck listening to me this morning. I apologize. And it is not a short one. I'm sorry. Don, I did what I could, but I'm sorry. It is what it is. Yeah. Listen, as we go to the sermon this morning, I want to kind of give you a little bit of a heads up. Today's sermon might sound a little aggressive. And I apologize in advance for that. The title of today's sermon is Action. Now, as I was preparing this sermon and I was reading the text that I was looking at, well, I got kind of distracted. I know nobody else here gets distracted, but I have a dog at home. His name is Parker. We love our dog. He's a little weird. Here's the thing. When Parker wants attention, he sticks his butt up in the air and his head into the ground and he just waves his butt around. Look, I couldn't help it. He stuck his butt in the air. I had to pet the dog, and then I played with the dog for a little bit, and I was trying to work on the sermon, and then I got a call from somebody at work, and so I went to that call, and I put out that fire or whatever it was that Wayne needed that day, and then I sat back down, and I went to my phone, and I was getting ready for the sermon again, and well, then Facebook just magically opened on my phone, and so, of course, I don't know, I spent 2 or 3 or 40 minutes later, you know, scrolling through the odds and ends of Facebook. And then I finally remembered what I was trying to do. I remembered that I got distracted, but I was trying to focus on working on this sermon. Does anybody else ever lose track of what's going on, get distracted in your lives? So I wanted to play a little game this morning. I thought we'd play a trivia game to see how well everybody else pays attention. So indulge me for a second here. How many of you guys remember 2 weeks ago what you ate for breakfast? No? Oh, thank you. I'm glad you do. Look, most of us, you know, if we do the same thing over and over again, maybe, right? So let's play some trivia. Who preached on 9/2/2022? That was 2 weeks ago. Clearly nobody. This is what happens when you get distracted. I know. Who preached on 9/4/2022, 2 weeks ago? His name was Chuck Morrow. Thank you. His name is not Ed Goodman, contrary to what I was trying to tell you all at the end of service that week. Now, how about this? Does anybody remember what Bible verses Chuck preached on?
It was Matthew 7:13-14 and Matthew 7:21-23.
Awesome. All right. How about the points? Does anybody remember what his 3 points were? All right. I know. All right. Does anybody else other than Jessica who's got it in her notes remember what they were? All right, Jessica, what were they?
Good notes.
Thank you.
All right, so how about last week? Who remembers who preached last week? Zeke. Glad you all said Zeke and not just a couple of you that said Chuck. So our memory is a little bit more than just, you know, 1 week, but not much. How about what were Zeke's Bible verses that he focused on last week? They were the same verses, if you were paying attention. Matthew 7, 13 to 29. So does anybody remember what Zeke's points were? Or go ahead and read them off there. What were his 2 points that he tried to emphasize during the sermon?
Enter through the narrow gate, God requires of us an external action, but an internal change.
All right, so let me ask this. Does anybody remember what you were taught this morning in Sunday school class? Right? All right, I know the silly game, but why in the world does this matter? Am I really that distracted? Clearly, I can't put dates on the screen, but am I that distracted that I wanted to take a side note and discuss distraction instead of the word? No. Actually, I wanted to talk to you guys about some basics. See, I thought we'd share some basics about how people learn and understand things. Because the truth is, unless you wrote it down, most people have already forgotten that Chuck preached on Matthew 7 and that Zeke preached on Matthew 7 and that today I'm also going to preach on Matthew 7. Don't worry. If it's not a different verse, it's the same passages that I'm going to cover that they both covered as well. Ironically enough, Chuck was not forewarned on what me and Zeke were preaching on. Now, me and Zeke knew because we were talking to each other and we prepped each other. But Chuck had no idea. But unless you were taking notes, you probably didn't know that the passages were the same passages. I'm going to ask Leslie to go to the next slide where there's this nice little diagram here. Look, I'm not going to go into all of the science behind this because I'm not that intelligent and I don't want to try doing that. But I want to point out a couple different things here. Lecture up at the top is 5%, and down at the bottom, teaching others, is 90%. What this is from a website called Good Habits, developgoodhabits.com, and a lot of other teaching sources and teaching sites, and the teachers in the room will stand with me and at least say it's somewhat close. The reality is that lectures, most people only retain about 5% of what's being spoken at or what's being spoken to during a lecture. Now, if you go down the list, 10% is for those of you who are actually reading, and audiovisual being 20%, and demonstration up to 30%, and discussion up to 50%, practicing being 75%, and 90% being when you actually teach others. The whole point of what I'm trying to tell you guys is two sermons, the last 2 weeks, we've covered the same material. And if we're lucky, maybe you took a couple hundred words out of what either one of those men said. Maybe. If the stats are right and it's 5% and Larry's last sermon was only, we'll say, 1,500 words, only 1,500 words, then you might have recorded 78 words out of something Larry said. Larry, have you ever preached a sermon with only 1,500 words? That would be the sermon we want him to preach next week, although he's preaching on patience, so don't hold your breath. Listen, that sounds like a lot. 78 words is a lot of words to remember, right? How many of you guys take 78 words out of every worship service sermon? Does anybody feel like they remember the points, at least, from a sermon? Sometimes, maybe. Look, these stats can be scary. As one of the men who comes up here who tries to present God's word to you, when I look at these stats, I get kind of worried. I know Larry and I have talked about it before, and Zeke and I have talked about it before, that sermons are not where you retain information. So, why in the world is that the case? Well, there's different types of learners, and again, I'm not going to go into all of the science behind that between whether you're an auditory, a visual learner, or a kinesthetic, I can't say that word, and the other type of learner, right? I'm not going to go into the detail on whether you're actively learning or whether you're passively learning, but what I'm going to tell you is the truth of learning is that it requires work. You'll notice from the top of this to the bottom of this, it says from passive to active. The passive learner is the person who just sits and listens. The passive learner is the person who's just sitting in a pew. Now, there's nothing wrong with sitting in a pew. I hope that you're in the pew, because if you're not in a pew, I don't know where you're at, quite frankly. Maybe you're online sitting on your couch. And I hope that you're here, and I hope you're engaged, but the truth of the matter is, you're probably not going to learn as much from me or Larry or Zeke on a Sunday morning when we're preaching at you versus what you would learn in a Wednesday night or a Sunday school classroom. That sounds like a bold statement. Yeah, you're right, it is. I can't, of course, do all of the experiments with that to determine how true that is. I'd call somebody like Mike and ask him to do a social experiment to really test that if I wanted to, but I don't think Mike really wants to take the time to even do that social experiment. The truth is, though, if we look at it, discussion is 50%. Even if it's not to the T 50%, the facts are that a discussion is going to yield more retention of the information. So if you're not discussing God's word, if you're not discussing his ideas, his principles, you're not going to retain it as much as you would by sitting here and listening to me preach out of Matthew chapter 7. Now, I know this seems like a long intro, or a boring intro if you're not really into statistics or stats there. So let's get right into the word then. I hope you paid attention. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 to 29. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 says this. It says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them." Verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the ones who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles.' And then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, evildoers.' Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine, does not put them into practice, is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Verse 28 says, "When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as the one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Church, the truth is, I have one primary point for you this morning, one focus that I want you to see. We need action. That's the reality. When I talk about being distracted, see, the thing with being distracted is we get easily distracted by all the things around us. Whether it's your phone, whether it's the water bottle that somebody throws down the table, whether it's the music, whether it's the shoes or the tie. Maybe you're distracted by how terrible the tone of my voice is. Or maybe you don't like the fact that I say church 32 times in a sermon. Or that I say 28 times in a sermon. Or maybe you don't like the fact that I drink from the same water bottle every service. I don't, for the record. A new one every time. Maybe you don't like something of my style, and so you allow yourself to be distracted by that. But we need action, church. We need to be on guard. We need to see all of the things that we see here. If you look at this text and you remember from what we heard from Chuck and Zeke, we got a great analysis of this text already. We got to see how Christ loves us and died for us through this text. Chuck did a great job at explaining how the cross is like our bridge. And then Zeke did a great job at pointing out that we need to walk the narrow path and that we need to be on guard. So as the third string guy, how in the world could I truly add anything more to this text to you? Action. Four key verses, four words. This is going to be your English lesson of the day. I'm not an English major, so if this is wrong, I apologize in advance. English lesson of the day. We're going to look at these four passages. 13 says, enter through the narrow gate. 15 says, watch out for false prophets. 17 says, likewise, every good tree bears. And 24 says, therefore, everyone who hears. These four words are verbs. And a verb is a action word. Great job, class. Thank you. Look, these are verbs. These are important for us because enter, watch, bears, and hears. These actions are some of the things that we need to be doing. As a Christian, we have to live a life of action. We have to understand that there are going to be difficult times. We have to understand that there's going to be times when everything is okay. And as Christians, sometimes we have to understand that we have to walk a difficult path. So let's look at these verses a little bit more in depth. In verse 13, it says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. See, this isn't just that it's going to be a hard road. It's going to be a difficult road to get through. The next picture here probably isn't very good on a screen. But you look at a hallway, it's closed in. See, a lot of visuals for this passage tend to be just an open road that's just a very small path. But narrow is the path. Doesn't mean that the road is only small. It means that you're closed in. Now, look, I realize that's just an analogy, right? But let's think about that for a second. Yes, our walk is going to be hard. We're called to go a very different way than everyone else. But outside things make it harder to go down. Look, our path is considered the road less traveled. It's important for us as Christians to understand that when we retain information about the Word, we actually have to work at it. Look, how many of you guys like to read? By a quick raise of hands. There's a handful of you that actually like to read. Wow, that's really impressive. Better question. How many of you don't like to read? All right, there's more of us out there still. Good. Whew. I was feeling like I was getting outnumbered. Look, most people don't like to read. There's some of you guys who are a little different who like to read. That's okay too. But the truth is, if you don't like to read, you probably don't want to get into your Word. You probably don't want to get into God's Word for you to sit down and do Bible study. I don't like to read. For me, to sit down and actually read a book, man, it's like pulling teeth. I know that sounds silly because I get up here and I preach, right? You'd think I'd like to read every now and then. Larry, how often do you read a book that is not for a study? I'm with you. Here's the truth. We have to actually work really hard to prepare a sermon. It is not easy to stand up here and preach at you guys. It takes time. I have like 18 pages, 22 pages. Sorry, I'm only like a quarter of the way through still. You got a while. Look, it's tough to put all of this material together to make it all make sense. And then after you've made it make sense, then you got to try and make sure it actually flows well. Some of us are better at that than others. I'm not so good at that most of the time. I get distracted and I see a goat outside and I start talking about the goat. Right? That's the reality. But our Christian walk is the same. We get distracted. Some of us don't like reading. Well, the truth is, for us to walk down this narrow road, we have to do work. We have to actually get into the Word. And that might look different for each one of us. Actually, me and Kevin were talking about this awesome thing you can do on the Bible app where it actually increases the speed at how fast it reads it to you. It's awesome. Because sometimes they go so slow, you just want to go to sleep. So, what actions can we take? How can we improve what we're doing? How can we walk down the narrow path? It requires action. It requires us to be focused on more than ourselves. So let me elaborate for a little bit more here. I have three other verses that come out of Romans. Romans 6:6. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. This verse literally tells us the old is gone, right? When we become a Christian, when we give our lives to God, the old is gone, so that we should no longer be a slave to sin. Your actions don't have to be so focused on the flesh. We don't have to fall victim to our sin anymore. Romans 6:12 says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you may obey its evil desires. Evil desires, right? This is coming from you. Most of us have flesh in this room. If you don't have flesh, that's a little weird. Go to the emergency room. But all of us have a flesh, a sin of the flesh. We all have things that we struggle with or things that we deal with. And the truth of the matter is, those are our fleshly desires, the desires that we struggle with. And you have to fight against those things. That's an action, right? We have to actually fight against those things. It's not something so simple that you snap and it's done and you're good. It doesn't work like that. It requires work. Now look, everyone's different, and all of the things that we fight are different. Some of us fight with food. Some of us fight with lust. Some of us fight with greed. If I'm so focused on my job to make money so that I can provide for my family, but I lose sight of the family that I'm trying to provide for, my priority is wrong, right? And yet, we all have things that we lose sight on. We get focused on something, the wrong things. My last verse out of Romans says, Romans 12:2, it says, "Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." See, we're supposed to be different. In order to be different, in order to not look like the world, that takes action. So, what is it exactly that sets us apart? How do we do that? Look, I'd love to tell you it's easy, but it's not. And I think most people who tell you it's easy are probably lying to you. We should be set apart. We should look different so much that our love should be the thing that is we are known for. We should have love and compassion for others that seems crazy. Our desire to wake up early on a Sunday morning to go and worship with other believers, to go study with other believers, is kind of crazy. Look, do people know you for what you do? Do they know you for who you vote for? Do they know you for being a country guy or a rock and roll girl? Do they know you for being pro-abortion or anti-abortion? Do people know you for Biden or Trump? If that's all they know you for, where's Christ's reflection in you? And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that any one of these things are in and of themselves bad. Not a lot of people here know this, but I like to play video games. I don't share a lot about that. Some people here know this, and some of those people play video games with me, but that's okay. The truth is, I don't want to be known only for playing video games. Just like I don't want to be known only for driving very fast all the time. But sometimes the things we do cause us to be more known for one thing versus another. Ultimately, this distraction that we have, because anything that turns us away from Christ is a distraction, this distraction that we have, where our attention span has focused on something or anything else, shows others what our focus is. Ultimately, our actions are what set us apart. So, what do your actions say about you? In this second text that I want to look at here, that we're going to pull apart here, it says in verse 15, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves." the action that this text is talking about is an action, and the action's preparation. We need action in our work. We need action in our preparation. Look, false prophets are a thing that is here and a thing that is going to be here forever, or for the rest of the time here on earth. We can be deceived by these false prophets very easily if we're not prepared. What do these false prophets look like? They look just like us. They might be ferocious wolves, as the text says, but they look like us. They come in sounding like, looking like, maybe even shaped like us. So if we're not prepared, if we're not ready, how can you discern what is right and what is wrong? Once again, we have an action here. We have to ask ourselves, what are the differences between a true and a false prophet? Well, a false prophet's not going to follow God's word, and a false prophet may try to steer you away from God's word. A false prophet may try to use God's word in a wrong context. And a true prophet is going to point to God. He's going to point to God's word and is going to discern God's word. But how do you know? You got to get ready. Church, almost every time I get an opportunity to say it, I will always say it. We need to read the word. We need to study the word. Everybody studies and learns differently, right? I pointed that out in the beginning. Some of us take notes. By the way, thank you, Jessica, for reading from your notes, right? Some of you out there take notes. I know this because I've talked with some of you and I've seen some of your notes. And notes are an incredible way to learn and retain information. There are some people who sit here and can listen to a sermon and remember word for word. Honestly, talking to Zeke sometimes after a sermon where he goes, do you remember that thing that Larry said where like five paragraphs in and he said this one? I'm like, well, I don't even remember what Larry said yesterday when he talked to me and when he said bye. There are some people that have those photographic memories, and that's awesome. But most of us, we need more than that. Most of us, we have to work at it. We have to train ourselves to be prepared. This weekend, me and Cynthia and Travis and a couple other people are going to do a Tough Mudder. All right, it's a 5K where you run in the mud. It's really not that fun. But in preparation for this, some of us have started going to the gym again. Not that I want to. When you go to a boxing match, if you decide you're going to get into boxing or MMA, you don't just walk in off the street like Mike and decide you're going to get into an MMA ring or into a boxing match. Just out of curiosity, no? Okay. I figured I'd ask. I mean, I could have been wrong, but look, the truth is, you have to prepare to do something like that. You have to get ready. If you're in sports, you have to train. You have to prepare yourself. You have to consistently and constantly get ready more and more and more each time. When you're in the military, they prepare you for things. What are you doing to be prepared for the enemy? Believers, I have to tell you, the enemy is out there. And he's already ready. He's prepared. He knows what he can use to get us to take us down. So do you know God's word? Are you actively studying God's word? Are you actively learning and growing? Or do you just take up a pew on Sunday morning? You have to train in order to prepare yourself. This is where learning God's word, fellowshipping with other believers, this is why it's all so important. This is why it's so important for you to connect into a small group. Because here's the thing. We're called to sharpen one another. This helps prepare one another. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2 says, "For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." Look, we have no idea when the end is going to be. Whether it be Christ's return or our own death, you don't know when your end is going to be. You don't know if you're going to leave here and get into an accident, or if we're going to walk out here and hear the trumpets sound. But are you prepared? Matthew 12:36 says, "But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word that they have spoken." Listen, obviously we all have a debt to God because he gave his life for us. Right? Obviously we all owe him that. But what is your account to the Lord going to say? What are you going to respond to the Lord? Because he's wiped our debt free. Right? He's done this because he loves us. That debt is canceled out. He's good. We're good. But what is our account of our words going to be? Are we bringing him glory? Well, I don't think there's any better evidence of this than fruit, right? Which is what brings us to the next. 17 says, "Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit." The action here is action and growth. Look, the word bear here, or bears here, means produces or creates. This action focusing on growth as a whole, right? Whether it's creation of new, or whether it's growing to a better fruit. We have to spend our lives growing, learning, and growing more. Believers, whether you're here as a brand new believer, or whether you've been in church and studying for the last 80 years, there is always more for us to learn. There is always more for us to learn. So growth occurs in multiple ways. Just like if you use the analogy here of fruit, we can look at it in multiple ways as well. There's the fruit of our labor, right? Like, you get what you're working for. I always kind of put this one in as the you get what you pour out. That's not always true. But the fruit of our labor can also be the people you're praying for, the people you're talking to, the people who are your ones. This could be the people you're teaching or the people you're sharing, witnessing to. There's the fruit of the Spirit, looking at how we are personally growing as well, though. What fruit are you growing? What fruit of your labor are you producing? What are you working on? We see the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there are no law. This is in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. We can look at the fruit of the Spirit. We can look at how we should be internally growing. We can look at how we should be growing the kingdom by sharing the good news, by spreading the seeds.
But so often, so many times, we get distracted. In our own walk, we get distracted by the chaos and the drama of what's going on. In the church, we get distracted by the person who said something that upset us. Or the person who said that my sermon was terrible. We get distracted by those things, right? We get distracted by the people who tell us things that we don't like. So, how do we stop ourselves from being distracted? How can we stop ourselves from doing something that truly, and I mean truly, is part of our nature? Well, I'm going to be honest and say, I don't have all the answers. And if I did, I might be better at not being distracted than I am. But my immediate thoughts and my immediate focus came upon humbling ourselves. See, the world teaches us that it's all about me, 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 I. What's in it for me? What do I get? I deserve this. I'm entitled to this. But God's word tells us otherwise. God's word tells us that we should be putting others above ourselves. Now this means, and this is very difficult, this means you have to stop and listen. See, we're so focused on talking and telling everybody what we want that sometimes we forget to stop and listen to what somebody else is saying. And if we don't stop and listen to what someone else is saying, we can't always hear what's going on with them. My second piece out of that actually comes that we have to be honest and open with others. Look, you don't know if I'm hurting if I don't tell you I'm hurting. Because I wear a pretty big mask. I'm pretty good at faking it most of the time. I can yell the top of my lungs at Blake. Yeah, Blake, I'm listening. I'm talking to you. He looked up at me. I can yell at Blake. And then 2 minutes later, you see me and you would have thought that it's all happy-go-lucky, everything's good. I'm good at faking that. You don't know when something's going wrong with me unless I let you in. And church, I have to be honest here and tell you that we, a lot of times, struggle with being honest and open. Travis talked about it in his sermon. He talked about how we struggle with being honest, open, and transparent. This is a truth that we at the church don't want to talk about a lot of times. Because if we're honest, open, and transparent, that means you're going to see me hurting. You're going to see the real. And listen, then I'm going to start crying, and then Travis is going to start crying because I'm crying, and it's a whole ordeal. Okay? Because when we're real about things, when we get down to the nitty-gritty, it hurts. But you know what all of this requires? Action. I have one last action I want to look at this morning. So verse 24 says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The action I want to point out here is action in reaction. Listen, here's the thing. When we hear the word, right? We shouldn't just be hearers of the word, but therefore, he who hears these words of mine, puts them into practice, is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. So, we all sit here most Sunday mornings, and we hear Larry preach for 55, 75 minutes, somewhere in there, right, Don?
25? I'm sorry. 25 minutes. 25 to 75 minutes, somewhere in there. You guys be the judge of that later, okay? Listen, we listen to Larry preach on a Sunday morning, and we hear him give this message, and Larry's put like 2 or 3 minutes into the sermon, right? Yeah. Yeah. Several hours into this sermon. I think I had 9 hours just into typing it. And I'm a fast typer. Listen, we put all this time into this sermon, and we preach it in 20 to 60 minutes, and then you guys leave, and what did you take out of it? Did you even hear what I said? Do you remember anything that was spoken about? What are you putting it into practice? Yeah. Listen. John 5:24 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word, believes him who sent me, has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out death into life." Listen, we have to be reminded of how important God's word is every single day in our lives. Church, that takes action. It's important for us to hear the word, but it's also equally important that we heed the word of the Lord. So how do we do that without being distracted? It's the same way we got to do anything else. We have to work at it. We have to find ways to get out of the distraction. For some of us, that means on Sunday mornings, we have to take our phones, and we actually have to turn them off. Because I don't know how, but that Facebook app just keeps opening. Right? Or maybe for some of us, it's we need to eat a bigger breakfast so we're not starving and waiting for lunch and hoping we can beat the Methodists to lunch. All right? Not that I'm naming any names here. Look, for some of us, it's maybe that we have to actually sit down and go write notes. Sometimes notes are the easiest way for you to try and retain something. Some of us, it's we actually have to talk to somebody afterwards. Me and Travis used to talk about the sermons afterwards when we would ride down and have lunch together, and it was one of the most challenging things for me because it meant I had to actually pay attention. Because he'd ask me what something meant, and I'd be like, oh, I don't even remember Larry saying that. What are you talking about? Look, to get rid of the distractions, everybody is affected differently. Just like everybody learns differently. Just like everybody retains things differently. I can't give you a be-all, end-all answer on that. But what I can do is I can tell you that it requires action. So, what are you going to do with it? I want to wrap it up like this. See, everyone's at a different point in life, and therefore, the action that you need might be different than the action I need or Travis needs or Jason needs or whoever, right? But some of you, maybe God's working on you that you need to make a profession of faith. Maybe you realize that you need to come out and give your life to God. Some of you, maybe you're new in the faith, and you realize that you need to get involved. Maybe the action you need is getting involved with other believers. Some of you, maybe you just need to get into the Word altogether. And that's hard. So find ways you can do it with others who will hold you accountable, who will help go through it with you. Listen, maybe you've been around for a long time. You know everything and everyone, and you've been at the church longer than me and Cynthia or definitely longer than Blake's been alive. That's great. Maybe it's time you get reconnected. Maybe you've served faithfully for many years. Maybe your action is that you need to be sharing with your friends or inviting friends or family members to come. When's the last time you shared the good news? Wherever you are, whatever you're going through, all action has to start somewhere. So when you leave here today, what's your action? Pray with me. Gracious Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love and for your mercy and your grace. God, we thank you that you loved us so much, that you died on the cross for us, that you paid the price of our sins. God, we thank you so much that you love us so much, that you love us in spite of ourselves. And that you love us even though we're still working on it. God, I pray that today as we come before your throne, Lord, that you challenge all of us. That you challenge all of us to grow and to start in an action, whatever that action may be. God, it's in your great name I pray today. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Richie. Will you all please stand? Thank you.
week, go. Be active. Find your action that you need to get involved in and just do something. Go this week. Be blessed. Have a great week, everyone.
The week.